MPs are debating further devolution as we speak to all parts of the UK, including Wales, following last month's Scottish independence referendum. They've been talking about a number of things, including whether Wales should have a far more clearly defined list of what Westminster is in charge of and what areas come under the control of the Assembly. They've also been talking about whether only English MPs should be able to vote on laws that would just affect England. That was a matter raised by the former Welsh Secretary, John Redwood.
Very grateful to the Right Honourable Gentleman for giving way. Does he agree that as we wish Scotland to have substantial tax-raising powers in its own right, it would then be quite wrong for Scottish MPs to vote on those taxes for England or the rest of the United Kingdom?
Well, English votes for English law is a hot topic at the moment. Labour, by the way, has announced it'll boycott a committee set up by the Prime Minister to discuss the issue, calling it a political stitch-up. And put all of this today in the context of yesterday as well, when the Welsh Secretary, Stephen Crabbe, told this programme that he'd be holding monthly meetings with the other parties to discuss the way forward for Wales. Well, Kevin Brennan joins us, MP for Cardiff West and Shadow Minister for Schools. Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Why has Labour decided to boycott this committee then? What's the thinking behind that?
Well, the way that this is being set up really is more political than serious talks about the Constitution. In relation to the English votes issue, that was raised the day after the Scottish referendum by the Prime Minister. And it's more to do with their problems as a Conservative Party with UKIP than really seriously seeking a solution to the English question and ways of devolving more power in the English regions and so on. And, you know, it's all basically a stitch-up leading towards a vote in the Commons, which they hope will show that they're a party to rival UKIP. And it's a serious discussion we need about this, not just involving the Westminster elite, but also involving people right across the country. In Wales, under devolution, we've had decades of debate. We've had three referendums in the last, you know, 40 years or so. And that's the sort of discussion you need to have before you take major constitutional change.
I mean, there's political ramifications for Labour in that, though, in that you need Scottish and Welsh MPs, don't you, to get votes through in the Commons. You can't deny that.
I think the more substantial issue is what would happen, and this is an issue I raised in the same debate, what would happen if you had a two-tier House of Commons where some MPs are only allowed to vote on some matters, other MPs can vote on other matters. You'll end up with a majority government available for certain issues. You might even end up with two different prime ministers, ultimately, because it's the prime minister has to command a majority in the House of Commons. So I think that a two-tier House of Commons is the worst possible suggestion, because that really would lead to the slippery slope towards the breakup of the UK. And it's no coincidence that the Scottish National Party, you know, have always advocated this because they can see it as a step towards separation. And of course, the Scottish people have just rejected that option. Yeah. By a clear majority of 55 to 45%, and support for it in Wales is at the lowest ever recorded level in the latest polls.
How aware do you need to be, to quote a Conservative MP from the southeast of England today, that this idea of English votes for English laws has struck a chord with his constituents and the people of England? And he's not the only one to say that, that there may be a case of English voters looking at Wales and Scotland and thinking, hang on, you're having your cake and eating it, and we haven't got a cake.
I think there's a real issue, you know, about devolution, and it's about power and getting it away from, you know, such a centralised system, which we've always had, which is why, you know, Wales and Scotland originally went for devolution. But of course, England is a very, very big player within the Union. It's, you know, by far the largest country and always was able to dominate, which is why, the poll tax experiment was able to be carried out against the wishes of the Scottish people back in the 1980s and the early 1990s. So it's a real issue, but it can't be solved by this two-tier approach, which is just a political tactic, as I say. Let's have a real constitutional convention. Let's involve lots of people. Let's discuss what further devolution is needed for England. Let's discuss, you know, how we need to take even further forward the devolution we have in Wales and become a much less centralised country than we have been in the past across the right of the across the whole of the UK, and deal with the UK constitution as a whole rather in a piecemeal way, which it has been dealt with up until now.
I don't know if you've seen this, so apologies. It only came through in the last 10 minutes or so. The leaders of the four parties in the Assembly have called on the Welsh and the UK governments to agree by January how much extra funding Wales needs. The figure out there is Wales about £300 million a year underfunded. Is a January timetable to sort that out? Because it's been a problem that's been around for a while. A realistic one, do you think?
I haven't had a chance to look at that proposal, as you say, if it's just been released. But obviously that has to form part of the discussions, what the future, the implications for the future funding of Wales is within the changes that have happened as a result of the Scottish referendum. So obviously I'll have to study that in a bit more closer detail to give a definitive answer. But clearly it's an issue that does need to be looked at.
I'm just curious as well. I've always wanted to ask you this, in fact. You're a Welsh MP sitting in a Welsh constituency, but you're Shadow Minister for Schools in England. Has anyone, a political opponent, ever raised that and asked it how that all works?
Not much. I think Michael Gove at one point did sort of attempt to discuss it. The difference is, as a minister, of course, you're a minister of the Crown. You're not actually a parliamentary appointment. And in fact, there are some ministers, including one of the education ministers in the current government, who isn't elected by anybody because he's a member of the House of Lords. So ministerial positions are a bit different. What I find, actually, is having the experience and knowledge of education in Wales, both as an MP and a former teacher and so on, and having the experience of visiting schools and having been a minister in the government with largely, not solely English responsibilities, but with some Welsh responsibilities as well, actually brings a lot more richness of knowledge to the job than you'd have if you just exclusively had experience of one of those two countries.
There we go. Question answered. Thank you. Kevin Brennan, MP for Cardiff West.